That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this morning from the Radio Ranch. It's a cool morning here, Saturday, March 4th, 2023. And we've got a full crew on this morning. We'll bring everybody on. And way down south, Josh, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we'll go a little further north. Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we'll go way up north. Brother Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And I don't know if anybody else came on, but... Remnant, we say good morning to you as well. Thank you for joining us. It's a live program this morning. We've got the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, and we'll be glad to take your call. But we're going to open up in prayer, and Josh, I'll ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for that blood that was shed, Lord, to cleanse us, to purify us, perfect us, Lord, to heal us. To pay our debt in full, Lord, we do thank you for that, and pray that you grant us all the blessings of that blood, Lord. Let us not leave one on the table or take any for granted, Lord. Pray that you cleanse us, purify us, perfect us, help us to be the men that we should be, Lord. Pray that you help us to be those mighty Christian soldiers that that the world needs right now, Lord. That we wouldn't shrink back in fear, but that we would push on forward, Lord, victorious and faithful to you, Lord. Pray that you'd keep us safe and keep our families safe, Lord, as we work and we till that ground. Pray for your blessings that you prosper us, Lord, and everything that we do. Lord, do lift up our country to us, Lord. Pray that you'd open our people's eyes, Lord, and help us see the sin that is around us, Lord, that we would see that sin, that we would repent of it and turn from it, Lord. Turn back to you and in your your ways, Lord, that you would restore us as a nation. Lift up all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Josh. Well, not sure where we want to go this morning starting out. I did want to start out with a scripture. I'd seen this week again, and I wrote it down, wanted to share it. It's encouraging to me, and it's Isaiah 41, verse 10, and it comes at a time that, you know, the prophet Isaiah was, God had sent his warning to the people through his prophet. He had told them and continues to further in this book to warn them about their sin, to tell them why these things were happening, why they were being overrun, why they were being, you know, the blessings had pulled away from them because of their sin. But there was always the good news in there as well. And, you know, and as he would point their sin and problems out to them, he would also, as all the Bible stories are, turn and give them the answer, the relief, the way out. And verse 10, he says this. He says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I think this just echoes what we read throughout the scriptures, if you take time to look, that it says, "Do not fear." And we've talked about that. We talk about that being in many different places in the scripture. But I think that in our, you know, in the days that we live, the dark times, the insecurities that just seem to be all about the land, that we need to remember that when we take the time to go through the Word, we will see that encouragement of not to fear, of not to, like it says, do not anxiously look about you. That God's got it. Anyway, that was my two cents this morning, just to start it off. So.
Well, I was. Go ahead, Paul. Okay.
Well, this is what. This is where our faith comes in. You know, we've had a lot of training over the years and stuff like that. And when he says fear not, we have to take him at his word, you know, because I've learned to take God at his word a long time ago. But it's a real time to take him at his word, because if we look at what's going on around us, we become nervous and intimidated and all kinds of stuff. But he said, fear not. No, we have to take him at his word. And if we have faith, that's what we have to do. So if we watch the news and everything else, and I'm kind of always selling fear. He said, fear not, so let's just do it.
Well, and that's what, so this week I was in a business. Don't hardly watch TV, but I was in a business where the TV was on, and I was committed to staying there, had some stuff going on, and the news was on. And so I was in there for a better part of 2 hours with the news going. And it was atrocious, the fear mongering and the presentation. It just went from one thing to another. And after the news went off, I guess it was Dr. Phil or something come on, and then it was the topic on it was the transgender stuff, and it was of whether, you know, at what age should children be able to decide, you know, what gender they are. And, you know, they were debating the topic and saying that, you know, they needed to make sure the children were old enough before they decided and what have you. And every topic that they talked about was just, it was terrible. It was shocking and fear-mongering. And so my advice, and I was thinking about more just to, you know, tell folks to turn that stuff off. Don't sit there and watch that and be exposed to that constantly, because it'd be hard to stay. stay in your right mind if you listen to that that stuff nonstop, you know, whenever. And so I was sitting there thinking about it, and there's now this big push to come against anybody that's anti-Semitic, and they're putting together this task force and this and that, and going to go through and root them out of the land. And I was thinking about with David, and whenever Goliath told him what all he was going to do, you know, a natural instinct of David would be to fear and to shrink back and back up, because this, you know, this guy's big and he's strong and he's got a big stick, whatever, and he's telling me what he's going to do to me. But that's not what he did. He leaned forward and dug his feet in and told him what his God was going to do to him, because he had God's word and he knew God's power, and he knew that he had access to that power. And so he stood firm in the faith and proclaimed that power that he had access to, and he won the victory. And when we fear, there are so many different things that happen in our body. One, you know, it narrows your vision. You get kind of, you get target fixation. You can't see as well in your peripherals, and you know, your heart rate goes up, and you're in a much more vulnerable state than whenever you were calm. And so we just, it's very important to be able to realize what's going on with you in your body, and to even know whenever you are being afraid, because sometimes we don't. I mean, it's just a gradual buildup of all this junk, and then, you know, you're talking about something, and it's especially good to have somebody like, or, you know, another Christian man that you talk to and run stuff by, and then for him to be able to call you on that, like some of y'all have done with me. Man, you know, what are you doing here? What's going on? It sounds like you're afraid, and we should not have that fear. It's very destructive. It's weakening. It's hard to win when you're afraid.
I agree with you, Josh. I mean, how many times are we told over and over and over, you know, to fear not? And yet we can, you know, still get caught up on that. But I think that the reason that it's in there so many times is because we need to get it down. And you know, then, you know, we're along those lines, you know, as we're told over and over to not fret because of evildoers. And, you know, so much of the time when we let that fear into our lives, we're letting our enemy take control of our actions, our reactions, putting them in, giving them a power over us where they're in control and they're going to dictate, you know, how we're going to handle things. And that's one thing that, you know, it's easy to get sucked into, especially when you, you know, when you're watching the news, like what you said. It's you know, something that you really got to be aware of. And like you said, it's something that a lot of times you don't even know that it's creeping in on you. And you know, next thing you know, it'll have control of you, and you know, you'll be spending every dime that you got on, you know, trying to buy that, you know, one more bag of food storage or one more box of bullets or this and that, just to, you know, rat hole something away.
You know, and then that turns into a God itself and gets between you and God, because, you know, you're actually looking to your provisions to take care of you instead of looking to God. And so it's a slippery slope.
It is. And you know, people that do that, they don't have faith. I mean, you know, a lot of them, it's their faith is in, you know, what they're doing and what they're sticking away and how they're doing it. And, And what I've seen also, what comes with that is a lot of judgment of people judging their brothers. You know, they're doing this, they're going out there and they're going to a concert, and they should be buying more food, or they should be sticking their money away or saving for this or saving for that, you know. And it's you know, that's a scary place to be in as well.
You know, there with me, I've found that there is power in words, and sometimes I will, if something on the radio or a TV or something like that, and I see that they're pushing that fear or whatever, trying to manipulate us and twist us and whatever, I'll actually tell them, I know it's the radio, and they may or may not be able to hear me, but I'll tell them, you don't have any power over me. To hell with you. You know, and speak out and proclaim that, you know, that they don't have any power. And it, whenever you do that, you can feel a difference.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
I think that I was thinking about this, what they're calling wokeness, you know, and I was like, well, Satan is a great imitator, you know. If there's a wokeness on his side over there, there's got to be, what's Christian wokeness? You know, I was trying to define that in my mind, you know. I mean, as far as I was like, well, Lord, what do we call Christian wokeness? And you know, if we look at so I was thinking about that a little bit. Well, in the course of you know, looking around for interesting things, I found this Christian quote unquote school in Kansas City, Missouri, and they were K-8. They had tuition free education for low income students that was Christian based, supposedly, and they decided to get woke. So they came out with this new program where they were, you know, all inclusive of all of the alphabet soup gang and everything, and immediately they dropped from almost $350,000 a year from local churches and supporters to $14,000 a year, and they went broke. So they, you know, got woke, went broke type thing. And I was like, okay, so that's wokeness on their part. What's wokeness on our part? And, you know, that takes us over to, the more I thought about it, I was like, well, 2 Timothy is, you know, the verses that talk about people being lovers of themselves and without self-control, haters of good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. And that's what obviously that Christian quote unquote school was doing. And it says they've denied its power. Avoid such people as these. And I was like, yeah, that's our wokeness. Our wokeness is, we got a whole list there of things that we need to be awake to and looking out for. And when we see that in anyone, that should be a, you know, one of those things that we act and respond on and understand. And it kind of goes back to, it takes a lot of courage to do that, like you were saying, Josh. I mean, Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Satan is our enemy. He roams about like a lion, seeking those whom he may devour. But that's the wokeness on our part, on a true Christian's part, is my God is with me wherever I go. You're nothing, you know. You know, to hell with you. You have no power over me. So as long as I'm in God's will and way, you you're just a vapor, you know. So anyway, that's interesting that it all goes together once again, I think.
Well, you can bet that David wasn't influenced by the news media in any way, if you can imagine her in the sheets. That's got to be one of the most boring jobs ever had. And he wasn't influenced by people, his brothers or anybody else. He was out there all alone with God. The Bible says, be still and know that I am the Lord. You know, the other day we were talking about in the 50s about Pastor Peters. I remember the whole discussion. But if you realize that in the 50s is when the TV came into our house, and that's how they snuck in there, and they made us slowly made us dissatisfied. Well, you see, oh, I don't want that. I want that. I want. If you don't see it, you don't want it, you know. And they destroyed the family. Even the early so-called wholesome things were talking like having two children. And they were just subliminally working on us the whole time. And the Bible says, be still and know that I'm the Lord. And I think David had plenty of stillness out there. And he got really good with a sling. He could put a stone wherever he wanted, and they'd come out, and, you know, he wasn't confused. And we got to think about that. Shut that radio off, shut it off, and think. One of my favorite songs is The Sounds of Silence, you know. Everybody thinks I'm nuts, but that's close to true. But, no, silence is golden. Be still and know that I am the Lord. And, you know, shut the thing off, because if you watch it, it influences you. You know, that's just all there is to it. Any of that crap just influences you. Even if you see it just for a second, it's a diversion.
And you can't partake of it without it affecting you in some way. Normally the end result for me is I get angry because after I see it for a little bit and you're right, Paul. That's being still and calm in him and having that quiet time, that connection. There's just something so special and powerful about it, especially if you can get outside and have it.
Well, the realization that they have no authority over you, you know, I mean, is very empowering and very... It's like you don't rule me, God does, you know. And you know, well, what can you do? If they tell you that, that's the way it's going to be. Well, my God can do something about it. So I will appeal to a higher power, you know, and he does. I mean, we've seen it time and time again, which one of us have not witnessed the power of God in insurmountable circumstances when the rest of the world would have threw their hands up and just, you know, drifted downstream and God intervened and changed outcomes and changed times and everything else. And it was like, if you just sit back, and at least I do, I sit back and I'm astounded, you know, and it brings about the glorification of God, which increases his power in your life and everything else, because you become more of a fit vessel to for his use, you know, just because you're willing to recognize his authority over all things. So it's pretty amazing stuff. I mean, it's truly empowering and amazing.
It is. You know, it reminds me of the story of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that, you know, we talk about several thousand years after it happened, that, you know, they stood up to the ruling authority, to the king, and you know, and said, even if we're not delivered, we're not bowing down to you, king, you know, and we see that reiterated throughout the Bible, even in the New Testament, right, that we must obey God rather than man. And you know, it doesn't mean that we look for instances to cause problems and to throw that in the government's face. But yeah, when we're faced with it, we can. There's that you brought up earlier, Josh, that faith. And Paul, you mentioned it. It's the opposite of that fear. That's what those boys had. They had faith. They knew that it was right to obey God. It was wrong to bow down to a false idol. And they weren't going to do it, and they didn't do it. And, you know, regardless, they just weren't going to do it. And
one of the greatest perverted words in that we deal with day in and day out is the church. You don't go to church. You are the church or you're not. You don't go there. You go for fellowship or whatever it is. But the church is the called out ones. It's a people with blood in their veins. And you see, all authority has been given to the church, the called out ones. And this is, our country has been destroyed for the pulpit. Romans 13 is a perversion. You know, it's taught as a perversion. It's real. That's I don't mean that part of it, but it's taught improperly. You know, we're all that government has nothing to give us that it didn't take from somebody else. So we are a socialist country right up to our gills. And socialism is communism, and it's all against truth, Christianity. So, you know, we're responsible for our actions. A limited liability corporation, no Christian should have one because we're responsible for our actions. You know, but they, but the bail priest attorneys would make that so they can hide behind it and not get, you know, get the death penalty what God requires of some people. But it's all a perversion of God's law. And the law has been taken out of the pulpits. Then that, let me read Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. See, that's why we have no conversions. The guy was talking to him the other day, is it something about accept Christ? If you don't accept Christ, it's whether he accepts you, you know, and how do you get accepted? When you are baptized for remission of sin, then God looks at you completely different because that was a once and for all sacrifice that he took for us. And if we're too proud to acknowledge that, we deserve what we get. Yeah, we're off track by big time, but there is a remnant out here and we're not to fear. That's the basic whole discussion so far. To whom we fear is who will serve. So, it's not God. And this country was founded on a tax revolt, by the way.
Well, and Paul, think about just that statement right there and the cornerstone of the new, of today's Christianity, to accept Jesus into your heart. Who's in control in that situation? You know, is it you or God? You are the small g guy because you are accepting God. You're gifting him, you know, allowing him to whatever. And that's out of order.
Yeah. Well, I say it like this. You're sitting in your house, it's raining, storming out, somebody comes knocking on your door. Well, it's Jesus, oh, come on in. Well, it's just exactly the opposite. He's got the safe port, and we got to get in. It's just exactly backwards. You don't accept Jesus. It's whether he accepts you. And he accepts you when the blood is on you, washed in it.
Amen. He loves us better when we're obedient. I mean, and if you think about it, in Samuel, I think it was 1 Samuel 15:22, he says that obedience is better than a sacrifice. And sacrifice was given to end all sacrifices when Christ gave himself for us. And obedience is only classified as obedience if it's doing something that you wouldn't want to do. You know what I mean? In other words, you know, when somebody says, hey, don't do that, it's because you're doing something else. So if you're obedient, you don't do it, even though you wanted to do the other thing. And so it's that training of ourselves to obey, to do that thing that goes against whatever our base instinct or our more natural desire is. But it's better for us because of that. And so... If we want to be pleasing to God, you know, you know, obey His laws and commandments. I mean, and every one of us has an innate opposition to that. So, you know, it's just a. If you want to be better, obey, you know, and strive to be that.
Well, hand in hand with that, like what Jason was talking about earlier. There's a tendency for us, the more we learn and the more obedient we are and the better we see ourselves as Christian, to be puffed up and judgmental and look down on others because, oh, well, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. And when actually it is the complete opposite. I mean, God chooses and uses the weak and the foolish. And Paul's helped me a lot to see things on that road. And I've been saying for years now that the more I learn, I find out, the less I know. You want to be counted in that number. You don't want to be a pharisaical Christian that's puffed up and, oh, look at how great, wise, and wonderful I am, because you're missing the mark.
The truth of the matter is, the more you look at yourself, the more compassionate you become, because, you know, if you took judged by God's law and way, we're just as defunct as everybody else. But the thing of it is, we have a compassion for our brother that doing it God's way gets better and better with time, and that's when we quit judging our neighbors ourselves. You know, you got, if you look at a prostitute on the street, you got to wonder how she got there. Was she abandoned, was she used, or whatever? I mean, there's a whole lot of history behind just about everybody as to how we got there. But, you know, people are desperate. They're miserable. They do the stupidest things to make a living and stuff like that. But this system that we have, we've forgotten God. There's a billboard on the interstate just down the road, and it says, when you forget God, your enemies forge in your chains. And that's exactly where we're at. Patrick Henry, I believe it was, said that. So, and we have forgotten God, by the way, nationally.
Yes. Yes. As a nation, our representative form of government, yeah, they've, our schools, our businesses, every aspect, and in many places, the churches as well, have done just that, Paul, forgotten God. You know, it's anything but that. Mother Nature can get credit for something, or, you know, La Nina, or, just whatever. But we have forgotten as a people. You know, the word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And, you know, if you believe that, and we do, because that's truth, well, you won't be blessed if your God is not the Lord. And that's where we're at. And that's what we're seeing. You know, that's why we have, our southwest border, I saw this, 128,000 migrants were caught in February. And that was up 31% over February of last year. That's who was caught. And they estimate, they say known getaways, about 50,000 plus. That could be three or four times that, or 10 times that. They just don't know. And why? And now we're seeing, you see headlines also that they're starting to have that on the northern border, coming across from Canada as well, not just the southern border from Mexico. And why is that? Well, because God keeps his word. Leviticus 26 mirrors Deuteronomy 28 with the blessings and the curses. The blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience. And we've talked about it, and the curses continue to grow on this land, on this nation, because the people continue to sin, to turn away from God, to allow the abominations and promote the abominations in the land, as opposed to going back to God's word and saying, listen, this is the basis. This is the foundation.
There was a proposal voted on here in Michigan in November, Proposal 3, and I don't remember what it was all about, but it was nothing right about it. Well, I know a guy that went in Kent County and physically counted the ballots for that proposal, and there was 80% people were for it and 20% were against it. Now, that tells you the depth of the morality of this country. It's bad off. You know, people don't want to submit to God, and 20% was craving it to come back, but the 80% don't want it. So they want to do their own thing, but let them do it.
You're right. Well, guys, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard.
Hey, good morning, Warren.
Yeah, just eating breakfast, having coffee with you. You were talking about, you know, the churches and the schools and stuff for God. I got a march in my Bible. I heard this years ago. I'm not sure where it's at in the Bible, but it says that they dwelt among and united with, forgot God, and served other gods. That's what's happening to our country today. Would you know where that's at in there?
I don't write off. I'll try to look it up real quick, but you're right. That's where we're at. Just like Paul said, that's where so many of our people, our enemy, has done a really good job. Not that we need a lot of help to sin, but that's just where we are. You know, we have the influences of the East. You know that we were warned about way back in the Old Testament. The late Mr. Richard Kelly Hoskins writes about that in his books, the influences of the East, and that's where we are. That's what we live. You know.
Yeah, not to change the subject, but you know, every day you find something interesting in the Bible. It's in, I'm not sure where it is in there, but it's in every translation of the Bible. I've got the Catholic Bible, the King James Version. I got the Geneva Bible. I think it's talking about Barnabas or whatever. Where these black people think that Jesus Christ was black. The word nigger is in there. I think it's Acts 1:30 or something like that. It's Paul talking. It's in an Acts of Romans. Did you ever read that?
I don't recall that.
It's in every translation there is. And Strong Concordance says that it means a cleansing, the word nigger does. It's only mentioned once. It is an Acts in Strong Concordance. Means a washing and a cleansing and a purifying. So, well, I'll let guys go, but I found it interesting, you know. If I was a black person, I think I'd be pleased to be called that if it actually meant that, but it doesn't mean what they say. Well, God bless you guys.
All right, Warren. God bless. Thank you, brother. Folks, phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. Yeah, the idol worship in the land is just, it anymore has become as American as apple pie. And the people don't realize it. Paul and I were talking about, what is it, there at the beginning of Isaiah. And you've mentioned it, Paul, that, you know, God said, my people do not know. They do not know. And it's almost like when, who was it, Paul was in the New Testament, was there, where was he, in Greece or somewhere, and he found an altar, it said, to the unknown God. And he went to the people and he said, let me introduce you to this God you do not know, but who is the God of gods. And that's really about where we are in the land. We've had Brother Zach, some excellent messages from Brother Zach, and in most of his messages he starts them out reminding everyone what the Bible says who Jesus Christ is. And I'm glad he does that, because maybe preaching to the choir a little bit, but I think it's good for all of us to remember. You know, when John wrote in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and, you know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When John wrote that, the Word that he had, the only Word they had was the Old Testament. That was the Word. That was who became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ. And somebody mentioned it earlier this morning, you know, turn the radio off, turn the TV off, of the news and think. And people don't do that. They don't. But, you know, if you think, well, when John wrote this, he you know, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospels hadn't been written yet. You know, Paul's letter to the churches had not been written. The only word that they had was the Old Testament. That is who Jesus Christ is, the New Testament word as well. But, you know, just that in itself. But the people don't know. They don't. And like you said, Paul, they don't want to. They don't want to turn. I remember Pastor years ago talked about the captivity that we're in. You know, he talked about it's a Egyptian type of captivity. It's a Babylonian type of captivity, economically, maybe not walking around in physical chains, but the captivity is there nonetheless. And I remember Pastor talking about how, you know, when you can go get you a $3 cup of coffee at Starbucks, that's a pretty comfortable captivity. And that's what's happened to this nation. It is an economic as well as a spiritual captivity. But the people have become very, very comfortable with it. It's acceptable. You know, it's acceptable. We've seen the little saying running around here the last few months about, you know, oh, in the future you'll what is it? You'll own nothing and be happy. And that future's now. That's today. That's today. How many people own their vehicle? How many people own their home? And, you know, not even going to the taxes that you got to pay every year, or the you know, the government will come take it. But don't have the payments on those things. And it's just a. It's just all but non-existent today. And just as because the people don't, again, like you said, Paul, don't want to serve God, the chains are there. The captivity is there. You don't want to serve God, he says, I'll have you serve others. And their yoke is a lot heavier than his.
Well, a mental captivity is much stronger than a fence, because if people are just rebellious enough to climb the fence, but when they're mentally taken, they're really taken. And that's just where we're at today. They're taken, you know. That's the trouble. People go to church and they think they're doing God's will, and they don't even got to deal what God's will is. So I told my girl, don't go to church. I said, you go to the woods and take your Bible. If you want to know God, you want to know people, going to church. And that's, you know, the government is just about like the local church is corrupt, and, you know, it's all got, it's frustrating. I won't even explain it to you, because I've been down that road. So.
Well, that's, you don't want to be. We're called to be a servant people and to help. But you can't save somebody that doesn't want to be saved. You can't help somebody that doesn't want help.
No, if they're not asking questions, you're wasting your breath. You know, when they put Jesus in a corner, many times he just asked a question. He demands what it was. You know, when he went before Caesar, he says, you king of the Jews. He said, well, who do you say that I am? See, that puts the burden of proof back on them. You don't argue them. And when you do talk, it is written. So it is written. Just say that. It's written. It's a two-edged sword. And then they can either go look it up or argue with themselves, whatever you want. But you don't do no good arguing with people. And many times Jesus just asked a question. He did tip over a money table and a few things like that, but most of the time it was different. Depends who you're talking to.
Well, and absolutely, it's just like trying to stop someone who, say, truly wants to commit suicide. I mean, you can't stop that. I mean, if they really want to off themselves, you can't really prevent that. You know, I mean, they're going to find a way to accomplish their goal. And people who call and want help say to a pastor or something like that. Those are people that are looking to not do it. They can be reached, they can be helped, but if the ones who actually want to do that, and it flows on out into the, I mean, that's what we're talking about, is a form of national suicide. Basically, some of these people, they don't want to be helped. They want to destroy themselves. I mean, it's no different. It's just a personal level thing versus a national level thing. And so, there's help and power and availability there for understanding if you seek it. But if you're not interested in it, what can be done? If you won't hear, kind of like that song you were talking about, Paul, take my arms or my hands that I can reach you. I mean, if they won't hang on, if they won't reach out, if they have no interest in that, then, their course is set. So that's where the power and the Spirit of God comes in and affects change. So that's, just a thought.
I talked to a woman years ago, and I can't remember all the details of it, but I was talking to her, and she was looking for the truth, and she went to a church, and she found out how mean the women were to her, and she just was turned off by it, but she was looking for help, but she said, all the women were so mean to me, and so there she was going to the place, but she got turned away. That happens. You don't always know what. I've had more intelligent conversations sitting at a bar talking to a guy than I ever had in church. Those people, you could have, see, a bar is a better church than a church, because you can have a millionaire sit next to a pauper, have an intelligent conversation, walk out the door, they go back into their own life. It's just, I'm not advocating it, but I'm just telling you, some people have left the church and they haven't really found it, but there's you don't know who you're talking to. I said, when a crab hits the fan, people are going to step forward. You never guess, and the ones you thought would will fall apart. And we don't know where this is going, but it's going. And I'm kind of happy about it myself. So,
amen. Amen. I'm reminded of that scripture when you say that, Paul, that, God says, I'm doing something new. I'm going to do something that knew in your day that if I told you about it, you wouldn't believe it. And so, he doesn't tell us, and that kind of goes back to that faith. Don't really know how it's going to work out. Don't really know what's going to happen, but like I started out reading, God says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The 23rd Psalm, God prepares, he has prepared a place for us. I don't see that as a place in heaven in the 23rd Psalm. He says, I prepare a place for you. I've given you what, in the midst of your enemies. And it's there. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've still got a minute or two. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brethren. You there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, brethren. This is Brother John Kevin from Buffalo, New York area. Grace and peace to you all and all who's listening on the radio call here. Warren, to answer your question, Judges 3:7 is one place that is. And then a kind of a reverse of how it's stated in Judges 3:7, it's stated in Hosea 2:13. I'll just read that for you, where it says, and I will visit upon them the days of Balaam, or you could say Baal, serving Baal, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith says the Lord. I like to say Jesus or Yahweh. So praise God. Hopefully that answers your question, Warren. And also where he said the word, I won't say it, but the word he said, I think he was referring to where it says Niger. And Niger is, I think what, I didn't look it up, but I think it's Niger. And praise God, what you're saying, dear men. This ties in also with Hebrews, over in Hebrews, where God talks about, Jesus talks about, well, through the writer of Hebrews, talks about entering into his rest. Hebrews chapter 4, where he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And it goes on, and it says, like verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Verse 9, there remaineth the rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So when we do what you men have been talking about, you brethren have been talking about, when we trust God, when we don't let these devil worshipers tell us, dictate to us how we're going to run our lives, when we trust God, it even says somewhere in there that the works were finished before the foundation of the world. So God gave us assignments to do from before the foundation of the world. Are we going to trust God and do them, as you men are talking about, or are we going to be little coward boys and shrink back and let the devil worshipers walk all over us and destroy our lives? So that's your choice.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for the call, John. Kevin, thanks for the comments. We are that rest that Jesus speaks of. You know, it all ties in that, you know, he says, take my yoke. My yoke is light. My yoke is easy. And it's not new. It's not like the caller said, it's been set up since the foundation of the world. Well, guys, any closing comments? We're down to just the last few minutes here.
Well, to know the first part of knowing where to go and what to do, where you're going, where your trail leads, is to know where you're at. And so, Paul alluded to this earlier, we examine ourselves, and whenever we truly look at and see our own sin and our shortcomings, it does make it a whole lot easier to forgive our others. It puts us in a better place ourselves whenever we realize that we're not that great ourselves, you know. And that's so you got to see your sin, repent of your sin, and turn from your sin, run from that sin. Don't be found up on a hill lifting yourself up. Well, in that matter, don't puff yourself up thinking you're all awesome and great. You know, we need to look at ourselves, examine ourselves daily, and our sin, and repent of it, and walk away from it, and turn from that sin, and then also forgive others as we're looking to be forgiven too.
Amen.
I have a comment. In Revelation 18, it commands us to cut ourselves off from Babylon so we don't suffer sudden and swift destruction. So we have a command to separate ourselves from the system, and I personally believe primarily it's a mental separation. Just don't trust it, because when it happens, it'll happen, you know. And think of the widow's mite and all the little people, the widow that saved the prophet and stuff. God will take care of us. The day is coming when you won't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, but he's going to take us through it somehow.
Yes.
So keep your chin up. It's going to happen.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Sure appreciate it. You guys taking time out of your busy day to be here and to encourage one another, to encourage the remnant, those that tuned in. And I, man, my batteries are fully charged, that's for sure. And Remnant, we do want to thank you for joining us and invite you to church tomorrow. Good Lord willing, and the road don't close, we'll be at church tomorrow. And we hope you'll join us starting at 8:30 a.m. That's Mountain Time. 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. We'll have a half hour of a scriptural insight, a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. We're right in the middle of Pastor Peter's Authority, Resistance, or Obedience series. So planning on continuing with that. And then we'll have a new message for you after that for the live church. And then give you the opportunity to partake of communion. And so we hope you will join us. You can do that at scriptures4america.org, and hopefully we'll see you there. God bless.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Snake-eyed. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake-eyed. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake-eyed. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.